Welcome to Pathfinders, a topical series for men. The world around us is a mess, and it's changing rapidly and not for the better. Men are struggling to find their way. They find themselves in a forest of issues and challenges that has grown up around them, and there does not appear to be a clear pathway out. And because men are the way they are, they might not even realize that they are lost in that forest of issues and challenges. And even if they do realize it, they may not ask for help. Any forest, no matter how dense or unknown it is, can be navigated if there is someone who knows the way, knows where the pathways are, knows where the danger is, knows which paths to take and which ones to stay away from. My objective for this series is threefold. First, to help men understand their circumstances, their situation. A man cannot know where to go if he does not first know where he is. This will also include helping them to see their need for a pathfinder in their life. Second, we all need pathfinders for some part of our lives. So what should we be looking for in a pathfinder? What are the traits and characteristics of this person, of this man, who will help us to find the right path? Third, all men should aspire to be pathfinders. This series should give those men who sense the calling to lead others the tools they need to be pathfinders. Ultimately, this series is about discipleship. This world is a mess, and there are lots of reasons why the world is the way that it is, and it won't be fixed until Jesus comes back. Until then, God is calling His men to stand up and lead people, as many as will follow, away from the darkness that is so pervasive in this world. The world has a leadership problem, and God has given the church the power through the Holy Spirit to do something about it. It is far past time for God's men to stand up and start leading. Welcome to Pathfinders. Welcome to the men's breakfast this morning. If you have a Bible, either paper or electronic, go ahead and get it warmed up. As always, we're going to open up God's Word. I'm going to start with a question. Who are you? When we meet someone new, we generally want to know something about them, right? We try to find out something about them. And for men, we often do that. One of the things we do is we ask them a question. What do you do? Right? Isn't that a very common question that men ask other men when they meet them? As a way of us making a connection, you know, trying to find some commonality or find something to talk about, right? And it's either just a way of breaking the ice or those sorts of things. Typically, we're not looking for some deep spiritual connection with them. We're just trying to get to know them a little bit. How we respond to that question is meant to convey something about us, about our identity. And no matter how we respond to that question, it can't completely answer the question of who we are, right? Because who we are is everything about us. It's all the details of our lives, all the experiences and all these different things. It's more than just what you do for a living. I have a definition here. I pulled this off the internet. The identity, the fact of being who or what a person or thing is. Let me repeat that. The fact, remember that word, that's going to be important a little bit later on, of being who or what a person or thing is. Your identity is what you are, or what you are is your identity. The fact of that is important. Your driver's license, for example, includes facts. If I look at mine, I notice at least one of the facts is not correct anymore. I don't know how, but that one of those facts changed and haven't changed it on my driver's license. But the physical description of me, including a picture and you know my address and things about my age, all that stuff is right there. Those are the details. Those are facts about who I am. You might have diplomas or certificates or different documents that describe your education or your experience or your training or your achievements. All of these things are part of your identity. Your resume tells a story about what you've done in your life. Not always, you know, as complete as it needs to be, or sometimes even as honest as it needs to be, but hey, we're not going to get into that. Your family, your genealogy, all of these things tell a story about who you are. And as Christians, our faith is a facet of our identity. Has to be. If it's not, then there's a problem. So our topic for today, I want to ask the question, I want to address the question, do you know who you really are? Do you know who you really are? And this is so important because identity determines activity. Let me say that again. Identity determines activity. For example, if a man identifies as a woman, what is he going to do? He may try to change his appearance, right? He may even go to the point of surgically altering his appearance. He may seek to access women's facilities like restrooms or locker rooms. He may seek to participate in women's activities like sports. He may try to establish a romantic/physical relationship with men because he identifies, this man identifies as a woman. Now, while there's issues with all of those things, big issues with all those things, the really big issue is that he is not a woman. He's a man. Turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. Identity determines activity. We need to understand that because we need to, our activity needs to be something that pleases God, that God would look at and approve of. Identity also determines how I act toward others. For example, I'm going to have a hard time treating a man who identifies as a woman because, well, he's a dude. And I'm going to have a hard time relating to him any other way. Now, I know I'm being insensitive and, you know, politically incorrect and whatever. The reality is, the fact is, he's a man. And my way of viewing reality is I have to deal with the facts. I focus on the facts. Identity, the fact of being who or what a person or thing is. Our identity is what we are, not what we want to be, not what we think we are, not what we desire to be, not what other people say we are. Our identity is who we are, what we are. Jesus addressed the issue of identity in Matthew chapter 16. In verse 13, he says this, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, if you study that, open that up, you'll see that he knows who he is, right? Jesus knew who he was. He is the Son of Man. He is the Son of God. Lots of other ways to describe him. But he asks the question, who do they say that I am? What is the world's understanding of my identity? Who am I? Jesus asked. Verse 14, so they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. He said to them, but who do you say that I am? Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Jesus says, "Peter, you're right. That's who I am. I am the Christ. I am the Son of the living God." And so, if identity determines activity, then identity not only determines what I do, but what I do with others. If Jesus is the Christ, if he is the Son of God, that should determine my activity, right? If I recognize that Jesus is this person, then I need to respond. I need to act like Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Well, how do I do that? Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39, Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." If Jesus is the Christ, act like it. Love him with all of yourself. Love him with everything that you are. Well, how do I do that, you might ask? John 14, 15, he answers, "If you love me, keep my commandments." If Jesus is the Christ, which he is, if he is the Son of God, which he is, then we as Christians ought to love him, and we love him by obeying him. Well, how do we do that? We do that by interacting with and communing with the body of Christ, with the Word of God. We're told how to love God, how to keep his commandments, if we'll just allow those things to be true to us. A man can identify as a woman, but it doesn't change the fact that he's a man. And the reality is, we need to know who we are so firmly that it determines what we do with our lives. And frankly, guys, most guys are not getting this. Most guys are allowing the world or, you know, their spouse or their children or grandchildren or their employer to tell them who they are. And I'll tell you what happens. If you have enough people telling who you are, they're not all saying the same thing. And you end up being confused and being pushed around and pulled around all these different directions. We must know who we are, so that when we face the different things that come on in our lives, that we operate from the fact, I am this, therefore I do that. And we're not confused, we're not distorted, we're not drawn aside by all the different things that people want us to be or desire us to be or think we ought to be. When we received Christ, our facts changed. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation." What does that mean? You're not the same as you used to be. You're not the same person. "The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." Our identity was changed by God, through faith in Jesus Christ, and based on what he did for us on the cross, that I was dead. Before Christ, I was dead in trespasses and sin. I was destined to be separated from God for all of eternity. And nothing was going to change that except faith in Jesus Christ. That's who I was. I was dead, and I was acting like it. If identity determines activity, I was dead in Christ. You know what? I was acting like I was dead in Christ, dead in sin, doing what I wanted, doing what I thought was right, as the rest of the world is doing right now. Most of the world, they are doing what they are. We shouldn't be surprised when people do foolish and hateful and ridiculous things around us. Why? Because that's who they are. It should break our hearts, but it shouldn't surprise us. Now, I'm alive in Christ. I'm alive to righteousness. I'm alive to the hope of heaven. I should live like that. Three aspects I want to touch on this morning about our identity. There's a lot more to it than this, but we only, you know, I only get 2 hours this morning to talk. So, The first one is found in John 1, 12 and 13. You are a child of God. That is a fact. John 1, 12. And as many as received him, if you've received Jesus Christ, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. If you are a Christian, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are a child of God. Speaking to this group, you are a son of God. Own that. That is a fact. If you're believing in Christ, you are a son of God. Identity determines activity. So how do I act like a son of God? Genesis 1:26 gives us a picture of that, tells us something about how God created us. In Genesis 1:26, God says, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. When we were created to bear the image of God out into the world, to the rest of creation. We know all of creation was created for God's glory. To declare and to display God's glory and power and majesty and purity and holiness and all those things. We were created, only humans were created to be reflectors of that, to display that to the rest of creation. Everything we do, everything we say, everything we think says something about God. Everything. If you are yelling at your kids or grandkids or fighting with your wife or your kids, what image of God are they seeing? If you're screaming at people on the road as you're driving, what image of God are they seeing? If people can't trust you for any reason, are they seeing a true reflection of God? As a child of God, as a son of God, I try to examine the things that I say, the things that I do, the things that I think, and try to ask myself if they are projecting the right image of God, an image of God that is true to his word. Now, I don't do it perfectly because you all know me. Most of you know me well enough to know that I don't do that perfectly, but I'm trying to. That's what makes us different than the rest of the world. We're trying to be good reflections of the nature and the holiness and the purity and all those characteristics of God. I'm thankful that I have the blood of Jesus Christ to wash away the junk that I sometimes blow it with. Turn to John chapter 15. We're going to go to a couple places this morning if you have your Bibles. First, I'm a child of God. I'm a son of God. Second, I am a friend of Jesus. Friend of Jesus. In John 15, starting in verse 12, it says this. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Love one another. Who's one another? Out loud, please. Other Christians, thank you very much. Good group. Woohoo, you're right there. Other Christians, love one another, Jesus says, as I have loved you. So how, in what degree should we be loving each other? In the same way that Jesus loves us. If you're unloving toward another believer, is that how Jesus loves you? I don't think so. Verse 13, greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Now we, as men, friends are you know, they're important in our lives. We're not always good at developing friendship relationships. You know, some guys are, some guys aren't. You know, some guys, you know, lone wolf guys, there's lots of those around there. I pray for them because they have a harder life than most. But when we're looking for friendship, there's certain traits that we're looking for, right? We're looking for faithfulness. We're looking for loyalty. We're looking for love, even though we sometimes have a hard time describing that, understanding it, and displaying it. If I am a new creation in Christ and a child of God, then according to this, Jesus calls me friend. Now, he does have some expectations of me. You know, and the question we have to ask ourselves, do I act like a friend of Jesus? If identity determines activity, and in my identity, I am a friend of Jesus, does my activity reflect that? Does my activity prove the fact that I am a friend of Jesus? You know, can I be watching porn and call myself a friend of Jesus? Somebody answer that out loud. No. Can I steal and call myself a friend of Jesus? Can I cheat? Can I be judgmental toward other Christians? Can I do just ugly, mean things and call myself a friend of Jesus? The obvious answer is no. Through faith in Christ, our identities were changed. I am a son of God. That is a reality. That is a fact in my life. I am a friend of Jesus. The Apostle Paul helped us to understand somewhat how we do that. In 1 Corinthians 11:1, he said this, "Imitate me just as I also imitate Christ." You want to be a friend of Jesus? You act like Jesus. You know, that kind of sums it all up. Well, how do I do that? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 13:5, "Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified." Examine your deeds. Examine your words. Examine your thoughts. Examine what you're doing, how you're living this life, and ask yourself the question, does the way that I live my life model for others that Jesus is my friend? Can anybody tell that Jesus is my friend? Ask yourself, in whatever it is you're examining life, is this how Jesus would act? Is this how he would think? Is this how he would speak? If not, then God is calling us to change, right? Wouldn't you agree that if you're not acting like Jesus is your friend, God probably wants you to change, right? Why? Why would God call you to change? Well, because if you're not acting like a son of God, if you're not acting like a friend of Jesus, then you are acting in contradiction to the facts of your identity. In the same way that a man who identifies as a woman is acting contrary to the facts of what he is. Through faith in Christ, you are a new creation. Not will be, not could be, not maybe. You are a new creation. If you are truly in Christ. Now, we got to ask that question. Are you truly in Christ? Are you truly saved? Have you truly accepted what he did for you on the cross? And, you know, and while I'm going to make an assumption here that we all are, we've got to ask ourselves a question. Am I truly? You know, if I were to die today, would I actually go to heaven? Because if you truly are saved, then you don't even hesitate to answer that question, right? What's the answer to that question? Yes. I don't have to think about it. I don't have to wonder. I don't have to, you know, weigh my good versus my bad. I don't have to do any of that stuff. If I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, then I am heaven bound, period. And all the other promises that are related to that. And so I must never yield the reality that I am a child of God. I am a friend of Christ. And I should act like it. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, our third aspect and final one for this morning. Somebody say hallelujah. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. I am a child of God. I'm a son of God. I am a friend of Jesus. I am a temple of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does outside of the body is outside of the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body? Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price? Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You know, these verses challenge me to examine myself, to examine my life for holiness, for Christ-likeness, but also to ask myself the question, who am I living for? Am I living for myself? Am I living for my family? Am I living for my job? Am I living for my church? Am I living for, you know, my sport, my hobbies? What am I living for? Am I living for what I can get out of this life? Am I living for pleasure or success or fulfillment or recognition, achievement? All these things. What am I living for? Notice the phrase, you are not your own. You are not your own. Life is not about you. That's a revelation for some people. As we recognize, whoa, wait a minute. I thought life was all about me. I thought my life was all about me. Nope. It's not. You were bought at a price. What was the price? The blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Son of God. The man who identifies as a woman, he's living for himself. He is self-identified. He has said, I will determine who I am, what I am, and what my purpose in life is. I am my God. He believes his desires or passions are the highest thing in life. And I've chosen the man identifying a woman. You can pick any thing where somebody has decided to be contrary to what God says they are. It doesn't matter. It's all the same. As a new creation through faith in Jesus, I am a son of God. And part of my identity is to reflect the image of God to everyone that I can. That I should be living my life for God because he owns me. He owns me, and I'm not afraid to say that. God owns me. He bought me. He gets all of me. He has the right. He is my master. He has the right to tell me how to live my life. He has the right to direct my path. He has the right to allow good to come into my life and to allow evil into my life. He has the right. He is God. He is my God. He has all of me. Whether good or bad comes, whether success or poverty, whether whatever things come, okay, he's God. I'm also a friend of Jesus, and faithfulness and loyalty and love ought to be trademarks of my relationship with him, not just with him, but with others as well. That as I'm relating to other people, they ought to see faithfulness. They ought to see loyalty. They ought to see love in my relationship with other people, just in the same way that I would model it to Christ. If I was able to stand with Jesus, you know, have him sitting here somewhere, he'd be at the head of the table, of course, or at the middle. Never mind. He's here in us. The way I relate to each of you ought to be a reflection of my relationship with him, right? Does that make sense? That if I'm truly a friend of Jesus, the way that I show that is my love for you, for those, the one and others, the other believers. Now, there's also a calling out beyond that, but we ought to be doing it really well with one another. Right? Would you agree with that? That, you know, of all of the places we ought to be doing really good, this whole Christ-likeness, it ought to be with one another. I'm also the temple of the Holy Spirit. And I think we kind of downplay this one way too much. My life is the temple of the Holy Spirit. What should my life then be? holy, maybe? Would that be a reasonable assumption? If I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit, should not my life be holy as I am humanly able to do it? Because, you know, I know most of you are pretty imperfect, but the reality is that we can do better. We can do something. We can be more holy. Because God commands us to be holy. You know why God commands us to be holy? Because that's what he wants. And if that's what he wants, that's what we can do. Now, again, we're probably never going to do it perfectly because we have Ken in our lives. But that's a fact. But we can still try. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 12. Jeremiah 12. Having a firm grasp on your identity is so important. Because we are living in a strange world right now. And frankly, it's hard. It's hard to do some of these things we're talking about. It's hard to let God be God in our lives. It's hard to act like a friend of Jesus. It's hard to be holy as the temple of the Holy Spirit. It's harder today than it ever has been. And this world is going to continue going the way it's going. 2 Timothy 3:1 says a lot about what we see in the world around us right now. But know this, that in the last days, which we believe we are living in, perilous times will come. For men, this ought to sound like we're just reading it right out of the news. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. Can we say, yep, that's what we see in the world today? And if we read our Bible and we believe what our Bible says, then there's no reason to believe it's going to get better. It's probably going to get worse. As we approach the time of Christ's coming, we don't expect it to get better. So we, as men of God, have to stand in this world, not just stand. As men, we're called to lead. To lead whom? Whoever God puts in our life to lead. Anyone that God has given you any influence over, you are called to lead them. That's part of your identity. And it's not going to get easier. The reason why I touched on this is because of a verse here in chapter 12 of Jeremiah, which is the reason why Kevin, our men's ministry leader, has chosen this book for studying in the men's group. In Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 5, it says this: if you have run with the footmen and they have wearied you, then how can you contend with horses? And if the land of peace in which you trusted, they wearied you, then how will you do in the floodplain of the Jordan? The reality is the world that we're living in today is going to be difficult. It's going to be difficult to be a man of God. But if we can get a firm grip on our identity, if we can know absolutely who we are, then as these weird things start to come into our world, intrude upon the little sphere of our reality, then we're going to be better able to deal with it and to process it and to know how to relate to it. Listen, we are living in confused and confusing times. Most people have no idea who they are. And they are changing their mind about who they are on almost a daily basis. And we're being told how we're supposed to relate to it and how we're supposed to adapt to it. And for the most of it, we are being told to live in someone else's lie. And we can't do that. We've got to be prepared to live in a world that is having an identity crisis. And we do that partly by having our identity firmly entrenched in our hearts. I know who I am. One last place to turn, and then we'll get done pretty soon. Ephesians chapter 6. Familiar text, but one I believe is so important for us as men. The world is confused. The world is confusing. And it's and the issue might not be so much for us, because we might know who we are. But we've got to remember that those that God's called us to lead may not have as firm a grasp on all these things as you do. And so God would have us so well in tune with who we are in him that we are able to lead others away from the confusion, away from the wickedness and the evil that we see going on in this world around us. We want to lead them toward God and toward Christ and toward the working of the Holy Spirit. And the only way we can do that is if we know who we are. But it's not going to be easy. Chapter 6, verse 10 tells us why. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not in your own power. You don't have enough. You'll never have enough. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Listen, if we can't see the devil at work around us, then you're not paying attention. Now we sometimes blame people for all the evil that we see in this world. Most people that are doing the things they're doing out there, a great many of them believe that they're doing what's right. They've just been deceived. They've been influenced away from truth. They think that what they're doing is okay, is natural. That you know, why are you coming against me? Well, I don't have time to tell you why. But the reality is, it's we have an enemy. And that's why it's so hard. If it was just a person that I could deal with, then it's easier that way, but it's not. Verse 12, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Our fight is not with people. If you're fighting people, you're fighting the wrong enemy. People are not the problem. If you're fighting with your wife or your kids or, you know, whoever, you're fighting the wrong enemy. They're not the enemy. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, since that's a reality, since there are these spiritual forces, evil spiritual forces around us that are fighting against us, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, which with which you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Do me a favor and stand up, please. Since, you know, Ephesians 6 tells us to, having done all, to stand, let's stand. Standing up against the spiritual host of wickedness is never going to be easy. Never has been. Never was easy. But it seems to be getting harder. As we see the end may be getting closer and closer and closer. The closer we get to the end, the enemy is going to increase his assault upon this world, especially upon those who are trying to do God's will. Who are you? Who are you really? I want you to repeat after me. I am a child of God. Say it out loud.
I am a child of God.
I am a son of God.
I am a son of God.
I am a friend of Jesus.
I am a friend of Jesus.
I am the temple of the Holy Spirit.
I am the temple of the Holy Spirit.
Guys, we ought to be saying that to ourselves on at least a daily basis. In our prayer time, we ought to start with that. This is who I am. Everything else in my life has to be a subset of that. If you start identifying yourself outside of those three things and then not factoring in those three things, then you're trying to be something you're not. That is who we are. And to live a life that glorifies God, blesses others, and grows faith, for us as men of God, we must own our identity. And it must be so clear in our minds. Now, there's a lot to everything I just said. What does it truly mean? What's the fullness of understanding what it means to be a son of God or a friend of Jesus or the temple of the Holy Spirit? Okay, that's part of the sanctification process of figuring all that out. But you've got to start there. If I can wake up every morning and tell myself, I am a son of God, I am a friend of Jesus, I am the temple of the Holy, a temple of the Holy Spirit, then from there, everything else can flow from my life. And personally, I got to tell you something. The more that I own those things, then you sit down if you need to, want to. Go ahead, sit down. Or you can stand, whatever you want to do. The more I understand this, some people are starting to squirm back there. I said, okay, sit down. The more I understand this, we're almost done. We're just another minute or two. The bolder I become. Not just in my faith, just in life. When I see all these weird things going on out there, they don't rattle me like they used to. I used to be just like wigged out. Oh, what are they doing? Okay, wait a minute. No, I know who I am, and I understand who they are. And it doesn't move me like it used to. I'm firmer in my life. I'm more settled in my life, and I'm bolder in my proclamations. I'm not ashamed of who I am. And I'm not afraid to tell people what God says. God has said things about what? Well, everything. Nothing's going on in this world that God hasn't spoken to us about it. I am a child of the infinite, powerful God. That's pretty radical, right? You are a son of God, the infinitely powerful creator God. He's your father. Just start to allow the reality of those truths to settle in and to transform your, it'll make you, anybody besides me ever feel weak? Dude, the older I get, the weaker I feel. I don't know what is going on with that. But not just physically, but other ways too. Sometimes I get weak. And I remind myself, wait a minute. My God, my father, he's never weak. He's always powerful. And when I'm weak, the Bible says then he is strong. I'm a friend of my Savior. I'm a friend of Jesus. When my life starts to get kind of chaotic and frustrating and hard and painful, I'm a friend of Jesus, my Savior. What can he save me from? Everything? Anything? Bible says, is there anything too hard for God? That's a rhetorical question. What's the answer? No, nothing. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit, and all of my life is his. All of my life is his. All of my life and everything that's in my life, including my wife and my children and my grandchildren, my friends, my church, everything that I might try to lay claim to is not mine. It's all his. And that gives me great comfort because I know that what I can't take care of, he can. It also leads me to behave as if it all belongs to him. Brothers, your identity begins and ends in Christ. It must. It's the only way that we're going to be able to stand in these days ahead. And there is amazing power in the name of Christ. Amen? We need to go forth and act like what we are. You are a son of God. You are a friend of Jesus, and you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these men, and I pray, Lord, that you would help them to see so clearly who they are. Lord, it's our identity Identity determines activity. And if I can own who I am, then it will determine how I move forward, how I act, how I respond to the different things that come into my life, that I will see myself as a son of God, that I'll see myself as a friend of Jesus, and I will see myself as a temple of the Holy Spirit, and that when I interact with others, my goal is to reflect a pure and true image of who you are, God, that I would act like a friend to you, loyal and faithful and loving, and by doing that to others and not just to you, and that I would strive toward holiness in my life. And I pray that for these men as well, that they would own those realities. Those would be the facts of their life, and that those facts would determine who they are. And by understanding who they are, it will drive what they do. I thank you for this time. I thank you for these new men that we've met. And I pray for your blessing on all of our things, all of our stuff. But Lord, most importantly, I pray that you would instill within our heart just that overwhelming sense of who we are in you. And that apart from you, we are nothing. We're no one. And we have nothing. And so I thank you, Lord God, that in you we have all. Most especially, we have your Son, who died to save us, who died to show us a way, the way, and that, Lord God, that he walks with us as we go through this, what can be a very difficult world. We praise you, we thank you. And Lord, we don't want to hesitate to lift up the people of this world. And Lord, we know your word tells us pretty clearly that most will not respond to you, but some will. And so I pray, as we grow in our boldness through recognizing who we are and what we are, that boldness would manifest by sharing you with others. We thank you, Lord, and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you guys. Thank you for being a part of Pathfinders. This series is for men who want to make a difference in the world around them. We want to partner with you on this exciting journey. Go to calvaryfv.com/pathfinders and click on the engage button. We'll periodically send you encouragements and exhortations to be the pathfinder God created you to be. Every man needs help periodically, so please let us know if there is any way that we can be praying for you. Send us an email to prayer@calvaryfv.com or text the word PRAY to 62488. If this material has blessed you in some way, you find it useful in any way, please leave a comment or review and subscribe to it, this channel, so that you don't miss any other things that we publish. And send it to someone else that might need to hear it or see it. Also, please pray that God would use these messages to help others find hope in Jesus Christ, to find their way. You can also partner with us financially by going to calvaryfv.com/give or text the word give to 62488. Until next time, go be radical with Jesus.